grateful for the fact that you make Sunday part of your day. Very serious message today. I want to talk with you. It's really, today is more of a chat. I really do just kind of want to chat with you this morning. A few decades ago, there was a seeming rift. It was kind of a rift that began to develop between two groups of people in the world. And I would call one group what some would call the scientific community or the intellectual community. And the other group would be what, you know, we would refer to maybe as the religious community or the Christian community. And it's really sad because this rift developed a few decades ago, and it kind of came under a title called Intelligent Design versus Evolution or Darwinian Evolution. And what's really sad about that is that whole debate, those two topics being considered to be a debate, that's a flawed debate from the beginning because those two things are not actually mutually exclusive. Now, let me explain. For example, the people who ascribe to what we would normally refer to as species to species evolution, for instance. You know, we don't believe in that. We don't believe that that necessarily. But so that would be people who believe that life began very, very long time ago, very simple organisms that through the process of fittest, survival of the fittest, the natural selection, adaptation, and evolution, that the world went from having only very, very simple life forms to very complex life forms, and man would be sitting at the top of that. That's kind of that framework or that perspective of what many thought that everybody in the what they would call the scientific community or the intellectual community would believe. But please understand, even those people, even people who ascribe to that set of beliefs or that perspective, they also believe there's an intelligence in design. I mean, they would, if you said to them, hey, you don't believe in intelligent design, they would say, of course I believe in intelligent design. Anybody can see that every cell in your body, there is an intelligence built into it. Now, they would believe that intelligence sort of came about by random chance. Now, on the other hand, though, most Christians would say, well, you know, we don't believe in species-to-species evolution. However, please understand, you have to understand, we have to believe and accept the fact that there are adaptations that take place in living organisms, what we would call adaptation or even evolution. And I'll give you an example of it. In the last 12 months, we have witnessed in such a very short period of time the virus known as COVID-19, it has adapted and mutated to the point where there are variants today that are resistant to all of man's efforts to try to control them. You follow me? That is a fact. I mean, that happens. It is a fact that the stronger organisms in a species tend to survive and reproduce, and so many times species do adapt and change to their environment. So the point I'm making about that is intelligent design is a part of both of those fields of thought. Okay, we believe in intelligent design, yes? We believe that we were intelligently designed, and we believe that we have intelligence built into our system, yes? And honestly, the whole world believes that there is an intelligence in the design. It doesn't matter what perspective you come from. So intelligence is really not what separates the people of God from non-believers. It's not an issue of intelligence. Both groups would believe that there is an intelligence in design. What the difference is purpose. You see, we believe that we were not just created intelligently, but with a purpose. You see, if you believe in God, if you believe in a creator, you believe that that creator created his creation with a purpose in mind. That's the real difference. There's a difference between something being created intelligently and something being created purposefully. Look, there are a lot of people who are extremely intelligent, but they have no purpose. They don't know why they have the gifts they have. They don't know why they have the intelligence that they have. And so, you know, when we think about that, purpose always comes first. You know, Henry Ford did not build a car and then look at it and say, I wonder what I could do with that. Right? there's always a purpose. Nothing was ever just built, and nothing was ever created unless there was first a purpose for it. The purpose always came first. So watch. So those who ascribe, the portion of our community, the portion of our world, and I'm not just talking about, maybe academia, but although it's very, very big in academia, but people who believe that the process, the reason that we're here is simply the result of random chance. Just a random, these things just happen to come together in such a way, and we just are what we are because that's just how it turned out. Now, please understand, that is, and they would agree that there's an intelligence built in, but there's no purpose. And having an abundance of intelligence, but not understanding the purpose, frankly, is very painful. It leads people to suicide. I say that because a couple of years ago, my wife and I purchased a home to remodel from a widow. Her husband, in Ashley, her husband was a psychiatrist. Hundreds of patients he had coming to him to get help with their depression, coming to him, asking him to help them with their anxiety and all of those other things. And he himself could not help himself with his own depression. And I believe the reason is it's found in his last message to the world, his final message to the world. One day he went to Marion, he took a rope with him, he threw it over a tree limb, and he hung himself. And in his final message to the world, he said, "I just don't see the point." He said, "I just don't see any reason. I don't know why I'm here. I see no point in it." Now, please understand. And again, I don't take this as a downer because I think we should all be encouraged. But we need to understand that there's a huge portion of our world. And sadly, there's even a portion of Christianity. People who say they know Jesus Christ as their Savior who are desperately searching for something. And they think it's found in intellect. See, what do we see in the kind of the higher levels of academia? Well, if you don't believe there's a purpose for which you were made, then you just believe in random chance. So there's no grand design, there's no grand designer. You try to find your purpose, or you try to find your sense of something that you're missing in more intellect. Right? So you go from your bachelor's degree to your master's degree. And there's still a void. And they go to a doctorate degree. And there's still a void. And so they go to more research and constantly trying to find. And listen, and those are all good things, worthy goals. But understand, if there's no purpose in mind, that's why the only thing they can try to do is find more intellect. Are you with me so far? What's missing in their lives is something that was built into them and built into our DNA, built into our cells. God said, "You were made not by random chance. You're not just a product of the right pieces coming together at the right time in such a way, and that's just how you are." No, there is a grand design. God made you with a purpose. And so really, the most important thing we can do as human beings in this world is figure out what that purpose is, and then work as hard as we can to try to fulfill it. Are you with me? So as I think about this, as I work on it, you know, it's sadly it seems that the more intellect, the more people are trying to search for knowledge, the less there is a looking for of that thing that's inside of us speaking to us saying, "Hey, you need to find your purpose." And I believe that's what Paul was referring to. In this verse, I'm going to show you a verse. When he was talking to Timothy, and he said, "Timothy, the people you're going to pastor, or the people you're trying to reach, they're very, very intelligent." Look, people can be very, very intelligent, but have no purpose, as I said. And here's how he described that situation. He said, "They are ever learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of truth." You see that? He said, it's so sad. It's a terrible, terribly sad thing when human beings live their lives constantly trying to learn more, constantly trying, and look, and by the way, that is a wonderful thing. Please know, we were made to learn. If you think that you have learned everything you need to learn, well, you might as well go ahead and die then. No offense, but it's true, because you're not going to be any good to anybody if you don't want to learn anymore. We all need to continue to learn, yes? But not just for learning's sake, not just to have more knowledge. There's something built inside of us. There's something that God put inside of us, and he said, I made you for a purpose, and purpose is more important than intelligence. What's really sad is that I think oftentimes those that believe that there's no grand design or no grand designer, that their misunderstanding, their search for knowledge has replaced their search for purpose. Now, God does have a grand design, and I think we need to understand that. But it has to be something that is practical in this earth. Consider this. Consider the field of astronomy. You know, how many of you enjoy, you like astronomy? Raise your hand. All right, there's four of us. So, I love astronomy. I have always been interested in astronomy. I loved learning about brilliant minds like Edwin Hubble, who figured out that the stars we look at in the sky are stars, but they're just within our galaxy. He figured out they're not just stars in the sky. There's actually galaxies beyond our galaxy. In other words, the stars we see are just the beginning. If we can get outside of our galaxy, there are billions of other galaxies. And he figured out through something called redshift that they're all moving away from each other. And by the way, God said all this in the Bible a long time ago. The book of Job says God spreads out the heavens like a curtain. So there's all kinds of things like that, but I loved learning that. I loved learning about these, how they could figure out that a galaxy is 4 billion light years away, meaning it takes 4 billion years for that light to get here. That's fascinating to me. It's fascinating to me that they can figure out what elements there are in a star that is 4 light years away just by looking at through different lenses, and they figure out which colors come through, and they can figure out what elements are. That is fascinating to me, but here's the point. If I made my life about that, what is the point? Listen, I'm not putting down astronomers, but what I'm saying is if my whole life was built around studying what's taking place light years away from here, someplace that I can never get to, I can never be a part of, it's never going to have any effect on Earth, it's not going to have any consequence here whatsoever, if that's what I built my life on, then of course I would be saying, what's the point? Why am I doing this? Why am I studying this? If that's what my whole life was about. And sadly, that's not any different from the child of God who has not figured out yet what his or her purpose is in life. Why are you here? Why was I created? Why were you created? That's what we're talking about this morning. So there is a grand design. Let me show it to you. There is a grand design. Look at it. Solomon knew it. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3, long before the birds made this song famous, God made this verse famous. Here we go. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1. To everything there is a season and a time to every what? Purpose under heaven. So God said, look, there is to everything. Now, everything means everything, right? That means you, yes? You say, well, I'm not a thing. He's talking about everything. And some of you are things. So, everything. He said, look, everything in the world, everything that's ever been made, God created it in a certain season. Do you know it's not an accident that God put your spirit into a body in this year? What year were you born? Oh, I shouldn't ask a woman. What year were you born? In 1977. Man, you're young, dude. You look much older. No, I'm just kidding. In 1977, there's a reason. There's a reason why Ken's spirit was put into his body in the season in which it is. Do you know how fortunate we all are? How many of you believe Jesus is going to come back and take his church out during your lifetime? And I know people have always believed that, but we really believe it, right? Yeah. Because we're smarter than the people in the past. I mean, we just know better, right? No, but we believe that. Do you realize if that's true, do you realize what a unique people we are? You realize how special we are if indeed we are the generations that are here when Jesus comes to take his church out of here. If you're still alive, please understand, out of the billions of people who trusted Jesus Christ as Savior, you happen to be in this season. That's not an accident. Am I right about that? did he say to everything there is a season? Yes? There is a season when Herman was born. There is a season when Harold was born. And there's a season when Harold was born. And all the others. Look, there's a reason for that. God had a purpose. There's a time for every purpose under heaven. You were made with a purpose. There's a reason why you're here, not just on the earth. There's a reason why you're not just a living person, but why you're living right now in this current age in which we live. Now, my question is, do you know what that reason is? Child of God, do you know what that reason is? Do you know why God has you here right now? That's what we need to figure out. That's kind of the key to everything. In fact, Solomon goes on. Solomon even believed that people who figured out God's will for them and fulfilled God's will for them, he called them righteous and he called the rest of them wicked. Look at verse number 17. He said, so Solomon writing, as he's continuing this thought, he said, I said in my heart that God will judge the righteous and the wicked, for there is a time there for every purpose and for every work. In other words, if we don't find our purpose and we don't work toward it, Solomon kind of felt like God's going to look at us as wicked. Now, he's not speaking for God, but he is writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. God made us with a purpose, and doesn't it follow then that he expects us to try to figure out what that purpose is? He wants us to know why we're here. God doesn't want anybody asking the question, why am I here? God doesn't want anybody asking the question, what is the point? He wants us to know why we're here. I'm going to tell you what that is here in just a few minutes. But, you know, he also went on to say, and I believe that Solomon was onto something here. He went on to say that the only people who can be truly happy are people who find that purpose. And that is the dominant force in their lives. Watch verse number 22. He said, therefore I perceive that there is nothing better. Wait, nothing better? Solomon had everything. Okay, Solomon was the wealthiest man who ever lived. He had 1,000 wives. I know, I've never been able to make that jibe with being the wisest man who ever lived. I can never put those two things together. I'm just not seeing that. But he said, look, there's nothing better than that a man should rejoice in his own works, for that is his portion. And that's the same word. It means his purpose. In other words, he said, look, if a man can spend his time working toward that purpose for which God made him, there's nothing better than that. Nothing better than that. So when I think about that, you know, we were created not just to be smart, but to know what our purpose is, to find and fulfill that purpose. So can I just ask a few questions then? I would never want to be hurtful to anyone. I cannot empathize with those who struggle with depression. I cannot. I don't understand it. I don't suffer from it. I never have. I'm stupid happy. I just am. I just how I see the world. So I don't understand it, but I can sympathize because I know so many struggle so much. But can I ask a question? Is it possible, for those of you that really struggle with that, you struggle with being down, you struggle with being sad, is it possible that the reason that you struggle with that is this very thing that I'm talking about, the same thing that drove that psychiatrist to commit suicide, because you haven't figured out yet why you're here, why God made you. Why God made you the way he made you? Because according to everything that we've seen, there is something inside you. God made you a certain way. He has a reason. He has a purpose. Let me show it to you. Go back to the place we started, 2 Timothy chapter number 1 this time. And I want you to notice, Paul now is speaking directly about us. He said, who has saved us? Talking about Jesus, saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to, would you read the next three words with me? His own purpose. Watch. His own purpose. Well, when did he decide that purpose? And grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus, when? Before time began. before, the King James would say, before the world, the foundation of the world. See, God knew he had a grand design, and he made you. He made Tana. The way he made Tana, he did it on purpose because he knew the season in which she would be born, he knew the time in which she would be born, and he said, I have a purpose for Tana. And he decided that before the world began. Child of God, how can you think you're unimportant to God? He's got a grand design and you're part of it. You've got a role to play in that. Those of you sitting at home, you have a role to play in this grand design that God has. God made, yes, he made the world with purpose, but he also made you with purpose. And that's what he said right here. And we see that. So there are some who would say, well, you know, Pastor, I feel like I have a purpose. I think I know what my purpose is. I have some things that I feel like are my purpose, but I'm still unhappy. Well, can I ask you a question? Are you sure you have a grasp on what his purpose is? Or is it your purpose? Look, he gives us the freedom to have our own purpose. God is a gracious God. He said, hey, look, you know what? God says, hey, Robert, whatever kind of music you like, hey, that's great, as long as you glorify me with it. Whatever kind of music you like, Harold, that's great, as long as you glorify me with it. And he gives us all those freedoms. See, he gives us the freedom to even explore our own purposes. And he said, look, if you like something, that's great, pursue it. But don't forget that I also have a purpose for you. Your purpose should not take the place of his purpose. Your purpose should be in addition to his purpose. Does that make sense? I feel like I am speaking a different language. And it worries me, Bill, that you're the only other one that speaks it. That would worry you too. You see, God has a purpose for us, and we need to know what that purpose is. And I think oftentimes we may think we have our purpose, but the question is it the purpose or is it our purpose? You know, and by the way, when it comes to our thoughts and our purposes and all that, God said in Isaiah chapter 53, he said, hey, I want you to know something about the difference between us. He said, I love you. You're my creation. I made you. I made you with a purpose. You are so valuable to me. I'll even send my son to die for you if need be. But he said, but you need to understand something. Your thoughts are not my thoughts. God talking to us now, Isaiah 53. He said, your thoughts are not my thoughts. And your ways are not my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. So what? Doesn't it stand to reason that his purpose for us is probably better than our purpose for us? I'm going to ask it again. Doesn't it stand to reason that his purpose for my life is better than my purpose for my life if my purpose for my life is different than his? Sure it does. Sure it does. And he built into us, when he created us, a need to find what that purpose is. And you know that's true. You know, deep down, every human being knows there is something empty inside until we figure out why God made us and why he made us the way that he made us. Now, academia is full, I believe, of people who are just desperately searching for something. Desperately searching for something in more intellect, in being smarter. And I think that we all were made to continue to learn, but not for just the sake of learning, but rather to figure out what our purpose is. And so if we're going to ask ourselves the question, what is my purpose? I'm just going to ask you the question. Don't respond out loud, but do you know what your purpose is? Do you know why you're here? I know why I'm here. I know it. I know why God made me in this particular time period. I know why God has put me in this position here. I know I don't deserve to be here. I know I'm not the best at being here, but I know why God has me here. Do you know why God has you where you are? Do you know why you were made? I'll tell you why. We all have the same purpose, and it's actually fairly simple. Here's what it is. Every one of us were made to bring God down to earth. To bring God down to earth. Do you know that's what Jesus tried to do? Yes. Did God not try to come down to earth in the form of Jesus? Yes. God, Jesus came to bring God to earth, and of course he was rejected, and so now he went back to heaven. Now it's our job to bring God down to earth. That is your purpose, and that is my purpose. Our purpose is to bring God down to earth. I think so much of the time that sometimes those of us if we don't keep this straight in our heads, we spend all of our time thinking about going to where he is, right? And we do. Look, we all want to go to heaven, yes? But God doesn't want you in heaven right now. Well, God, he doesn't. If God wanted you in heaven, Mike, you'd be there, right? If God wanted me in heaven right now, I'd be there. So God's message to us is, hey, stop worrying about you coming to where I am. Start bringing me down to where you are. Bring me down to these people that need to know who God is. And so that's really kind of what it is. In fact, so how do we do that? How do we bring God to the world right now? Well, we simply do what Jesus was doing before he went back to heaven. Can I show you what he was doing? The book of Acts chapter 10 tells us how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. And would you look at probably the most beautiful description of our Savior anywhere in Scripture. Are you ready? He just went about doing what? He just went about doing good. He just went about doing good. That is how we bring God to this world. We go about doing good. That means everywhere we go. Everywhere we go. We're not beating anybody with the Bible. There's times to share Scripture, and hopefully God opens those doors, but that's not what we do. We go about doing good. You know, before the age of self-opening doors, I used to love to go, you know, if you were headed into Walmart, or as, you know, some rednecks say, Walmarts, some of you, heading in there, and you know, there's somebody coming, you know, especially if it's an older lady, maybe, or an older man, I love to race ahead. I walk faster, don't you? I walk faster, and I get up there, and they think I'm trying to slip in ahead of them, and I love to just open that door up. You know what that is? That is just trying to do something good. Everybody can do that. I messed up today. I wanted to bring an illustration out for you. Do you know one time Jesus said, you want to do something good? He said, get a cup of cold water and give it to a child. You can read about that. He said, if you give a cup of cold water to a child, you are doing my will. I believe that's where Keith and Jennifer are downstairs right now. They are doing good. They're taking care of those little ones downstairs. Those little children. And by the way, we could use some more people who would like to go ahead and do some good for some children. You want to be a part of that? Talk to Jennifer about that. We could use some extra helpers down there because we've got a lot more kids coming now than we used to come. And the children we have coming right now have a lot more children in them than the children who used to come. Thank you, Tammy. No, listen, this is all he said. He said, hey, open a door for somebody. Take a cup of cold water to somebody. Feed people. What did Jesus do? He fed people. He encouraged people. Yes, he taught them. Yes, he shared with them all the truths of his infinite knowledge. But he just simply went about doing good. And that's what he wants from us. And that's why we were made. You see, it's the simple things. It's the simple things that Jesus did that were good, not the big religious things. In fact, let me just close with this. Let me show you what God has to say about this. God is not interested in the big religious stuff. He's really not. And you say, well, yeah, because that was Old Testament, right? He cared about all that big religious stuff back in the Old Testament. Well, let me show you what the book of Isaiah says about that. Here, God is talking to his people, and he said, look, you have gotten this thing of all these laws, you've gotten all these rituals, you've gotten all these religious things. He said, you've gotten them out of order. Let me tell you what I think about that. Take a look at the book of Isaiah chapter 1, verse 11. Very beginning of the book, God asks a question of his people. He said, what is the purpose of the multitude of your sacrifices unto me? He said, I'm full. That means I'm fed up. I'm full of burnt offerings of rams. I'm full of the fat of fed beasts. I delight not in the blood of bullocks or lambs or he-goats. You say, well, wait a minute. I thought that's what God wanted. Let's continue on. Look at verse 14. He said, your new moons and your appointed feasts, my soul hates? Wait a minute, God gave them to them. Is God saying that those things are wrong? Not exactly. But he said, my soul has learned to hate them. They're a trouble to me. I'm weary of putting up with them. Now, why would God be, I know, right? Why would God be so sick of all the things that he told his people to do? Verse 15. When you spread out your hands, he said, I'm going to hide my eyes from you. And even though you make many prayers, I'm not going to hear you. Your hands are full of blood. What is it? If this is not what God wanted from them, if these things that God said he wanted are not what he wanted them to be, if that's not why he made them, then why did he make them? Why did he create them? He says it in verse number 17 and last. He said, I just want you to learn to do what? Learn to do well. Just be nice. Be kind. Be good to each other. He said, seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Hey, you know anybody who's oppressed? You know anybody who's beaten down? You know anybody who the world's kind of kicking around a little bit? He said, give them some relief. Be a friend to them. Love on them a little bit. Judge the father. Plead for the widow. One of the things that I wake up thinking about oftentimes in the middle of the night is whether or not we as a church are doing right by our widows. Because I'm not sure we are. I think we try, but I'm not sure. And that's just one of the things. So the point, what's God saying? God is saying, I don't care so much about what you do for me as what you do for each other. I know I preached that 2 weeks ago, but we've got to get this. God said, I really, really, really care about what you do for each other. What you do for the world around you. That is why I made you. He said, I didn't make you to memorize the Bible. I didn't make you to know every Bible story. Those are good things. He said, I didn't make you to have all of the religious things. I didn't, know how to pray, right? And sound so well. He said, look, I don't care about any of that. He said, I just want you to really be good to each other. And if you'll just be good to each other, that's how you bring me down to the world. And that is your purpose. So forget about intellect. Forget about intelligence. It's not about that. The most intelligent person, probably the most intelligent person, the most intelligent mind of the last few decades was probably Stephen Hawking, I think the world would say. The man was brilliant. I mean, intelligent beyond anything we can even imagine. But do you know he died a very, very empty man, having not fulfilled what he thought he worked his whole life for, which was something called the grand unifying theory. He was searching for what he called the gut, grand unifying theory that would unite all of the theories, all the scientific theories under one, because he said, they don't make sense together. He said, the macro world doesn't make sense with the micro world, and something's got to bring them together. And what a shame that the most brilliant mind on the face of the earth spent all those years in that wheelchair, refining that mind, building that mind, intellect beyond compare. But he missed the one thing that really mattered. And now he's paying for it. Let's figure out as children of God what our purpose is. Well, we know what our purpose is. He said, bring me to the world around you.